Welcome to Career Tools. This week, working from home will stunt your career. Chapter 1, Choosing to Work from Home, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, what effect will working from home have on my career? And what should I consider when debating whether to work from home?
Hey folks, Mark here again. I have to tell you, if you don't know it by now, we try to remind you periodically with these public service announcements that our core product is the personal license. Yeah, you probably know us as somebody who puts on a lot of training, and we do that. We do both corporate training for clients, and we do individual trainings all across the country and overseas as well. But the product that Manager Tools really exists to provide to you is our personal license. For $200 a year, you get access to all of our show notes, Manager Tools and Career Tools, the entire archive, so thousands of shows. In addition, you get access to executive tools. Now, if you're an individual contributor, maybe you would think, I don't know if I need executive tools, but you might want to start listening now to understand better what's going on at the top of your organization. It'll give you context for things. But we go way past that. In addition to all those casts and show notes, you also get the interviewing series, which is our most popular product. Surprises me every time I see those numbers. You get our effective feedback product with audio and video. You also get the resume workbook. You also get first job fundamentals. You get roadmap. And probably my privately favorite product of ours, the interview creation tool, all included in your license. We're trying to add more value to the license so more people will become licensees, because it's the licensee money that we use to expand our reach all across the world, trying to reach every single manager in the world, some of whom can't afford even $200 a year. And we're trying to help people who all they can do is listen to podcasts, and that hopefully is enough to get them started on the right path. So I encourage you, please become a licensee, and we look forward to continue serving you for many, many years, long after I'm retired.
Andrew, I just wrote a newsletter as a kind of introduction to this, which said, didn't we all just do this? Meaning working from home. And everyone's saying, yeah, Wendy, I did working from home for the last 18 months. I know whether or not I like it. And I want to tell you, it'll be different. When we go back to normal, apparently we are back to normal because Walmart has taken all the little sticky things off that tell us where to stand in line. So when there's no sticky things on the floor, I'm now assuming that Walmart says it's normal.
That's the clearest indicator exactly that I could gather.
Right.
For
sure. CDC, nothing to say. Walmart.
Right. Walmart.
Exactly.
Yes.
So when we're going back to normality, there's choices that we're going to make about working from home or working in offices. But when some people are working at home and some people are working in the office, or some of your team is remote and the rest isn't, it's a very different experience. It's a very different situation to the pandemic, which was so special in that everybody was working from home. Everyone was making do. There were all sorts of rules and processes and procedures that were broken. There was all sorts of grace given for children being at home and so on. And so if you are now in November 2020 or listening to this in 3 years' time thinking, should I take a position working from home? The reason we're going to talk about this for the next 6 weeks is because it's a really big decision. It has a big effect on your career and how far your career can go, and also on your family life and all of those things. And so it's a big decision, and we want you to weigh it up carefully. And we want you to, if you make the decision to work from home, know what the negatives are and what you can do about those negatives. So a lot of us found the benefits of working from home during the pandemic. No commute, not needing a work wardrobe. We can all wear yoga pants underneath. Being at home for deliveries, more flexibility around children and childcare or other obligations at home, a more comfortable work environment for those of us who freeze in offices. It's very nice to have my office at 80 degrees every day, and working later or earlier, depending on your personal preferences.
We also know that there are productivity benefits to working from home. There are fewer interruptions potentially, or you can manage them, right? Because you know when your children are going to be home, or when they're going to be at school, or when your spouse is going to be in the house, or those types of things. You can control them, so there are fewer of them. For people who run good meetings, that means that meetings can be more focused, right? Because you don't have people popping into a room or saying, oh, I booked this room, or, you know, those types of odd things that come up, of course. Autonomy in and of itself has been showing to increase productivity. So just being at home will increase productivity for some people. That said, working from home may still stifle your career. Being out of sight sometimes could also mean being out of mind, and therefore being passed over for really good projects to work on, or things that would help, you know, grow your skill set, potential promotions, pay raises, you know, those types of things that you want to, when those conversations come up, you want to be at the forefront of some of those folks' minds, right? So that you're right there. But yeah, if you're not, you know, haven't had a meeting with them recently, you're going to be out of sight, out of mind potentially. So in this guidance, we're going to give you some questions to ask before you decide to work from home. In chapters two and three, we'll discuss how to mitigate the effects of working from home on your career. But this guidance is about making the initial decision and thinking about factors to consider. We'll make it very clear in the guidance that we can't make this decision for you,
no,
right?
Absolutely.
And so we can only give you factors to consider and hopefully shed some light on some things that maybe you haven't thought of.
So we're going to talk about working from home and why that does stunt your career. We're going to talk about why that doesn't mean it's not for you. Gosh, there was a lot of negatives.
Mm-hmm.
You could still want to work from home even if you know it's going to stunt your career. We're going to talk about the negative effects on your career and life. We're going to talk about the positive effects on your career and life. Then we're going to talk about the factors to use to make the choice. So we'll start with why working from home will stunt your career.
Right. There are two essentials for a successful career. And if you've listened to pretty much any other Career Tools cast, I think we always try to harp on this fact, which is you have to get great results and you have to have relationships, right? That's what it comes down to. And without sufficient results and relationships, your career will not flourish. Unfortunately, working from home makes achieving that sufficiency point much harder. More than likely, this is the part that's going to stunt your career. There are many other situations that cause similar stunting, such as taking time away for going to school or having children or being, in the home to care for an elderly or sick loved one. I mean, those types of things can all also stunt your career. So recessions, layoffs, those types of things also could stunt your career. And, you know, some of the more out of your control things are things like having a boss that doesn't believe in you. That could stunt your career as well. Some of those circumstances are unavoidable or unpredictable, but some we can predict, right? Others we can know and see from afar, or at least consider. And knowing that working from home will have an adverse effect on your career in terms of growth, you can at least know that and make an informed choice about whether or not this is the right fit for you, or whether, you know, working from home is good for you, at least in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk about that and then taking steps to hopefully minimize the effect if that's the right choice.
And remember, this guidance is for 90% of the people 90% of the time. If you're the exception who's had a career, you've worked from home and you did better than you think you would have done in the office, or you did just as well, that's good. You're probably in the 10% of people that we're not talking to, because 90% of the time this is true. And again, we're not talking about the work from home circumstances of 2020 and 21, when everybody was working from home in difficult circumstances. In this guidance, we're talking about working from home when part or all of the rest of your team work in an office or work in a space together. And in most cases, we're talking about full-time work from home situations, because even if you go into the office only one day a week, a lot of the relationship effects will be mitigated by that one day a week.
The impetus of this cast, I mean, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is that so many companies are choosing to not give an edict, right? Mm-hmm. We're going back to the office, or we're not going back to the office. A lot of companies are choosing to allow their employees to mm-hmm. have the choice. Do you want to work from home? Do you want to work in the office? Or do you want some sort of hybrid of mm-hmm. that? And so that's, I think, part of the impetus for this cast is, how do you know what to consider when deciding?
Which one to choose, right?
Yeah.
And the bad thing would be choosing based on the last 2 years, because they were so different.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you touched on a really important point that maybe folks don't think of enough, is they think of the last year or two as, gosh, you know, it was great. My boss was very understanding and very flexible. But even as, you know, as managers, right? I mean, I think of this as, there's grace, like you mentioned, there's been grace. And at some point, that grace may, you know, disappear. Erode
it's gonna
or
run
disappear.
Out, right? We're all going to have compassion fatigue with working from
right.
home.
Right, exactly. And we won't be able to be as, you know, compassionate and gracious. And yeah, we're going to, I mean, that's not always going to be the case. So I think that's a very good point by you. Let's not base it on our experience over the last 18 months, 24 months, because that's flawed.
Yes. Yeah. It can give you just a skewed idea of what it's like. The parameters we're giving you exclude companies where everybody works from home. If nobody works in an office, then everybody working remotely you're all on an even footing as far as career growth goes. The only thing you might want to consider then is, do I want to work for a company where everybody is out of the office? Or do I want to work for a company where at least some of the people and or me are in the office, because there's a difference between the career growth of those two companies based on results and relationships and what you can achieve when you're remote. So you might be stunting your career working for a fully remote company versus another company that doesn't work that way.
Right.
And that doesn't mean it's not for you.
Yeah, exactly. So before we continue, and I know, you know, I mentioned this, but we don't have a horse in the race here. We're not trying to sway you any way or the other. We want you to choose whatever is going to be best for you. And we don't know what that is. But we want to give you a rubric or an idea of all the factors, or at least as many as we can think of, to consider as you go into this very complicated decision. This is a nuanced decision, and this is not something that is all good or all bad. I mean, there are pluses and minuses to both sides, and we'll talk about what those are. It's our job here just to present all of those things that we can, you know, give you to you so that you can make an informed decision, rather than making a decision that has effects that either you didn't think about or you didn't know or couldn't foresee because you had never experienced that. I mean, some of us we're figuring this out as we go. So we don't want you to be in a situation where you make a decision and then you regret it later, having not had all the information. So if your family life, if your quality of life, if your personal life, if your spiritual life are all enhanced by working from home, then maybe those are factors that ought to figure into your decision. And we hope that they do. But this is also one of those cases where the old saw is instructive. You can't eat your cake and then have it too. We all have to make choices. And, you know, when people say, well, this is what I want, and I don't like the outcomes that come from it,
right,
we tend to discount that because, yeah, you know, that's welcome to the adult world of consequences.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yes. I've been watching way too much Super Nanny recently. Reddit's, she always says, if you choose bad behavior, then you are choosing to sit on the naughty seat. And, you know, that's the way adult life goes. You make the choice knowing that there are pluses and minuses on both sides, and you choose the minuses of your choice to get the pluses of your choice. The one thing you cannot do is have both. You just can't.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to work from home, do so. We all do. We all work remotely.
Yeah, we do.
I work from home I actually don't think it's ideal for me personally, but it works in this case. And I know the risks, and I knew the risks when I started. And your career, if you intend to grow your responsibilities, will be more difficult from home. It will affect your ability to create relationships that play a role in your results, and it will affect your results in the bigger picture. But it's still your career and your life. And your life ought to include picking up the kids from school if that's what you want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where it's tough for us, right? Because we can't weigh this stuff for you, you know? Yeah.
Hey, folks, we've had a surge of people signing up for our conferences recently. So I thought I'd quickly go over conferences that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. We've got a Virtual Effective Manager Conference that starts on 9 November. We've got a Virtual Effective Remote Manager Conference on the 1st of December. We've got a Virtual Effective Communicator Conference starting on the 2nd of December. And we have, I think what may be, but we might sneak another one in, our last Virtual Effective Manager Conference of the year. The first of its dates is 7 December, and it goes 7 and 9, and then 14 and 16 December. So before Christmas, you could learn everything you need to know to make the jump to becoming an effective manager. You can come to the website for all of this and sign up there. Hope to see you there.
So let's go over the negative effects on your career and life. So in order to weigh whether working from home is right for you, you need to know those potential negative effects. So we start with the negative effects because it's easy when you're making this kind of consideration or decision to focus on the positives, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's especially furthers my point earlier and your point about having rose-colored glasses over the last year or two, because we think of, oh yeah, it's been great, it's been nice. But we really got to, you know, think critically here, right? And so we're going to start with the negatives.
It's really easy to think, I won't have a commute, I can go to the gym, and forget that the fridge is within 20 steps of you, you know?
Yeah, well, I remember, I don't know, maybe a month after I started working here, Mark asked me, how are you liking, you know, working from home, being at home all the time. And I think I took him aback a bit when I said, I don't love it. And he was like, really? And there is, and we're going to talk about this, it's a bullet point, but there's a nice need for separation sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's a need for separation from the fridge or from, you know, potential distractions or from, you know, other things. But yeah, there's no right answer. It's no one or the other. So we're going to cover the negatives first so that you don't potentially downplay the negatives or completely miss them.
And the first is reduced effectiveness. So that is the results that we get in our role, our overall effectiveness is negatively affected when we work from home. Because first of all, you have to be working on the right things, right? We all know that effectiveness is working on the right things at the right time. And that means getting accurate and detailed goals from our bosses, as well as feedback on how we're doing during the year. And then the second part is we have to work with other people in order to get those results. And we have a lower quantity of relationships and a lower quality of relationships when we are not co-located with people. And so that affects the results that we're able to get. If you can't work well with other people, if there's some barrier between you and other people, which distance is a huge barrier, then you're not going to be as effective together.
Exactly. And even worse, working from home skews assessment of our own work. If productivity is working on the right things, and it is, then those things have to be the things that the organization values. The problem with a lot of the data that's out there about productivity is that it asks, how productive do you feel? Well, feeling productive is entirely different to actually being productive. There's a difference, right? And we talk about this, I think Mark talks about this ad nauseum, that, you know, there's a difference between being busy or feeling busy and doing productive work. It's easy though to be at home, you know, really working, doing a lot of stuff, doing the you're at your desk, you're working, but you're believing to yourself that you're being productive, and you're merely just being busy. You're just keeping busy, not necessarily focused on the right things and doing the right work.
I run an app called Rescue Time on my computer, not in the way it's intended, which is to check on every minute of every day of what you're doing. But I use it just to see if I've worked 7.5 hours each day, because it's really easy to only work 45 minutes an hour and like have got up and talked to the cat or answered the door, or, you know, and then I've been at my desk for 8 hours, but I've only done 6 hours of work. And right. Equally, it's, you know, some days I get into it and I've done 12 hours and I just realize I haven't moved. But I need the outside check on how long I've been working and how much work I've done in that time, because I have no idea. I just know my perception is completely skewed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the downsides of working from home is you get sometimes this Zoom fatigue or Skype fatigue, and you go, all right, well, I've got 5 minutes. Let me just stand up, move around. I'll get out of my office. And then you go, oh, well, you know, I've got to fold the laundry, or I've got to, you know, there's, you know, half a sink full of dishes. Let me just do that real quick, get that stuff done. And then, yeah, 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes right? go by, right? And that stuff eats away at your day, which goes back to the point of effort is entirely wasted when it's not what the organization or your boss wants or needs to be done. That disconnect, the disconnect between managers and directs when they're not co-located, leads to lower productivity, because the channel through which the messages about what is productive work and what is just busy is narrowed. It's harder to gather that information.
It makes me think about one of those one-way mirrors where you can see in but you can't see out. You know, that it's opaque. It's not the same. And to be fair, it is entirely possible to sit next to your boss in an office and still not get accurate and detailed goals or feedback from them. Like right. Many bosses are hopeless at this. The advantage, though, of being in the office is that you have environmental indicators of what your goals should be and whether or not you're off track. When you hear a customer questioning whether work should be done or how it was done or the price, then you might realize what your boss has told you wasn't entirely accurate. Or let's be fair to bosses, you didn't understand it accurately.
Yeah.
This might give you the idea that though your boss is telling you to work on this thing, the customer or the wider organization doesn't think that's the right thing to be working on. And that gives you the chance to subtly or not so subtly ask your boss about it or change what you're doing subtly so that you are working better with the organization and getting sort of organization sanctioned results rather than busy work, which is of no value. Those environmental cues are surprisingly important in orienting yourself to your own results.
Yeah. I like your analogy of the one-way mirror or the opaque mirror, but I also think of the emotional bank account, right?
Yes.
And how when you're making deposits or withdrawals, you have an idea of what those deposits or withdrawals mean to you, but that's not what the recipient is valuing those things at. And so, yeah, it's a one-sided transaction and it's tough. So the other thing that is a potential negative is lower rating, which really lower ratings, fewer promotions and raises, those types of quantifiable, right? What most people would consider to be growth or benefits. Most of us think of, I think, measuring career success in terms of favorable reviews, promotions, raises. I think especially early in our career, because those are the things that are measurable, right? I mean, it's harder to measure the strength or the depth or breadth of your network and, you know, that type of stuff, the goodwill. It's hard to measure the goodwill that you have in the organization, but you can measure whether you got promoted or not. You can measure your salary going up. Those are really easy. And so I think early in our careers, it's easy to think of things in those terms, those simple terms. It would be nice to think that these things, right, those raises or those promotions are based solely on your work, nothing else. It's very black and white, simple, right? Cause and effect. You do good work and this happens. And we're not fantasy tools, right? We're career tools.
Yes.
And this is not true. Your review is not only based on the work you did, but also other factors like your boss's estimation of your results against your objectives. And I would say even worse, Wendy, you correct me if I'm wrong, whether you disagree, but sometimes those objectives are communicated and sometimes those objectives are not communicated.
Absolutely.
And that makes it even harder.
We've had that conversation in other casts where you have to know what the objective is, the spoken one and the unspoken objective. And a lot of the times the unspoken objective is more important than the spoken one.
Yeah. So there's that. There's also your results compared with others in your team and those of your boss's peers, right?
I remember the comparison set. The first time I ever found out that what happened was in big companies is all the managers give their people their direct ratings and recommend a raise for them or promotion or whatever. And then their managers get together and they compare them all to make sure that the managers below them were all using the same kind of ranking system. So if one guy has said, oh yeah, all my people are five, and somebody else has ranked the same, you know, people with the same abilities at three, then those people are normalized. They probably put them all at four. And so whatever your manager told you was completely up in the air because the next level up, we're going to do something else with it. And I was kind of horrified because I felt bad for all those people that were told, oh yeah, you got a five because I think you're awesome. And then, you know, 3 days later, we're told, oh, no, you didn't. And by the way, all that money you thought you were getting, you're not. But the comparison, it's not just about what your boss thinks. It's about how well you did against, you know, how well the company did. Because if the company does badly, even if you do well, you don't benefit because the company's got no money to give you extra. And also how well all your peers did. Because if you're in a rising tide lifts all boats situation, you're not doing better than anybody else. You're all doing the same.
Yeah. Early in my career, I started after college in retail. And so, you know, everything is sales focused, you know, sales goals. And we used to talk about that all the time, right? Comparing ourselves or comparing our results, our sales to our peers and our peer set, right? Because yes, absolutely. There were times where our sales were, you know, 10% year over year, which is fantastic. But if everyone else is growing at 16% year over year, you're lagging actually,
yes,
right? And if you're remaining flat, you think, oh gosh, we're not growing. But if everyone else is down 6%, you're actually doing really well, right? You're holding the line. And so you're right. You have to think of that comparison set. The other things that you know are considered in terms of your results are your relationship with your boss, your relationship with your colleagues within your business, relationships with customers, right? Your relationship with customers. I would even add, you know, relationships with, and maybe you can consider these folks colleagues, but people external, right? External contractors.
Suppliers, contractors, you know, all the people that you work with.
Yeah, absolutely. The organization could benefit from some of those relationships. I mean, if you have a great relationship with a supplier, and so they give you, you know, when there's a good discount, they'll let you know so you can buy up on a certain item or whatever, right? I think of suppliers and there's always a discount. They always want you to buy up on things. But certainly there are ways that the organization can benefit from those relationships, which is why they're included.
So, you know, the results part, it's funny. There's two bullets that say results and three bullets that say relationships because relationships are so important. And like most of us have experienced working with what we call the arrogant producer, which is somebody who gets results but is unbearable to work with. And for a while, they get away with it. You know, early in their career, especially things like sales, you can have someone who's just unbearable but is hitting the sales targets out of the water and they will stay around in the organization. They'll get the rewards. They'll look to be doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chickens will come home to roost always because they start to not, if they can't work with other people, their results will disappear because you can only sell so many cars, you can only sell so many buses, whatever you're selling. And then you have to find new people. And if you are not able to develop relationships with those new people, or not able to develop relationships with your colleagues such that you can go after a new market together, then the sales dry up. And, you know, sometimes you wish your review was only based on your own results. But the only way that happens is if you're doing piecework. Now, if you worked in a factory and you got paid, you know, £10 a cup, then that's where your work is just based on your work and numbers. And there's few people that want to work like that anymore. So we have to put up with, A, we want a world that's not full of arrogant producers because they're no fun to work with. And B, we don't want to be paid piecework. So this is the way things are going to be.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, promotions are not just based on your ability to do the jobs of those who you'll be managing, but also their willingness to work for you, right? When mm-hmm. you're a manager. And so you want folks, you want to be the type of manager that people want to work for. And managers are responsible for results and retention. And any manager who starts their role with a team of 10 folks, and then after their first year, they end the year with a team of 6, regardless of the results, there's still a level of failure there, mm-hmm. right? Because you have not retained your team, that loss of talent. Now, I will say, with the caveat there of, if it wasn't intended, right? I mean, right. Certainly there are times where, you know, you get into a situation as a manager and some folks would be better off elsewhere, right?
Yeah. And sometimes that's part of the remit of a manager, is to come in and sort everybody out. But exactly. If you intended to have 10 at the end of the year, then you should still have 10.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So managers who people don't want to work for aren't successful, period. And this means that, you know, when you're being evaluated for a promotion, your relationships with the people who will be working for you are really important.
So, having admitted that reviews and promotions and raises are based on more than our results, you can see that working from home with a reduction in both the quality and quantity of relationships can easily have a negative effect on your career. Like, it's ipso facto, is that the right thing?
Ipso facto, yeah.
You know, just proved that point, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone through two of the negatives, or potential negatives, of working from home, and we've been talking for a long time. So we're going to stop here. We've got one more negative when we come back next week, and then we're going to talk about the positives and how to actually make the choice. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.